Hello and welcome to the RPG Academy podcast. My name is Michael, and we are back today for another episode of Econ Fundamentals. This is the show from the RPG Academy where we take a look at currently funding TTRPG and related crowdfunding campaigns on any of the various sites that do that, and pick out a few that maybe you will want to check out or may have missed. Joining me today, as always, is my co-host Larry. Larry, say hello to everyone.
Hello, everyone.
Larry, thank you for joining me again this morning. So again, where can people find you on the internet, and do you have any projects you want to quickly plug, podcasts, blogs, anything like that?
Well, this wonderful podcast right here, we've rebooted and started up again, and I think it's going well. I'm proud to be on it, happy with it. Mumfrey999 is my Twitter handle. That's usually where I'm lurking in cyberspace, and you know, that's it, really.
All right. Thank you as always for being here. I'm happy to have you as part of the team. And then join us again this time. We are still looking for a full-time co-host. We have several that are on rotation coming up, but making his return appearance is Brandon. Brandon, say hello to everybody.
Hello, I'm back.
So quickly tell people where they can find you on the interwebs.
You can find me at duelingogres.com, which is my podcast. You can also find that on any podcatcher app available. You can follow me on Twitter at duelingogres. And I also do a podcast called We're Probably Not Okay, which you can search for, again, on all your podcatcher apps.
And there'll be links to all those things in the show notes, along with all the campaigns that we talk about today. So if this is your first time at the show, basically what we're going to do is each of us have brought three different currently funding, crowdfunding campaigns we're going to talk about, give you the bullet point details. There'll be links in our show notes to all of them if you want to check them out. And I quickly want to just give a shout out to ZineMonth.com. So Zine Month is a thing that has been run on Kickstarter for the last couple of years. It's a lot of very sort of small indie RPG related projects. This year, they've sort of decentralized off of Kickstarter for various reasons we don't need to go into again. But if you go to ZineMonth.com, all of the different Zines that are available there, you can check out. You click on each one, it will take you to wherever it's funding, whether that is Kickstarter or GameFound or whatever they're doing. You can find a whole bunch of them there. I know at least one of the ones that I chose today is from Zine Month. And you can go again. And I think we actually have an interview coming out with the creators of the website on our show coming up soon. So with that out of the way, we're going to jump into the show. I'm going to kick things off with my first project, and it is called Unchained Mysteries. So anyone who's listened to my podcast for a while probably has heard me talk about my love of murder mysteries. I absolutely love running murder mysteries in games, though sometimes that's hard to do, particularly depending on the game you're playing or the system. You know, sometimes like things like Speak with Dead and Zone of Truth can kind of, you know, make your typical Hercule Poirot type of investigations a little bit difficult when you can just ask the body, hey, who stabbed you? So I'm always interested in trying to find ways to implement mysteries. And that's what this Zine offers. It was created by Jesse Bernko. This is the second they have created. They've backed 132. So that's a good green flag. They've been around Kickstarter for a while. The last project they did was called Dungeons and Dilemmas, which was also a zine. Currently, this is funded. It's 146% funded on a goal of $3,000. It ends on February 23rd. And basically what Unchained Mystery promises, it's a game-agnostic critical examination of mystery scenarios in role-playing games. So basically what this person is pledging is that they will help break down the core key elements of a mystery and teach you how you can implement them into a role-playing game, regardless of what system you are using. It's sort of similar to what the one before, Dungeons and Dilemmas, was about, trying to create these sort of morally gray area scenarios. It's not always good guys, bad guys, and how you can implement those into a role-playing scenario as well. Currently, the plan is for this to be a 5x5 times 8x5 saddle stitch booklet, black and white interior. All the arts will be public access or Creative Commons. So it's kind of, again, typical Zine sort of thing, low value, low production value on those types of things. They're trying to get as much, in the material. My brain is not working. They're not worried about the frills. The lowest pledge is $8 for a digital copy, $15 for a printed. There's also a $16 and $30 version where you get both of the ones, so the new one and the one he did before. So $16, we give you both in digital, $30, we give you both in print. And the estimated delivery date for this one is November 2022. So about, 8 months away, something like that, somewhere in there. All right.
Well, it looks good. The art that he does show, like you said, that was from Creative Commons or freely available, but it still looked really neat there. But the guy by the waterfall looks like he's getting ready to take that fella out. And
I'm pretty sure that's a Sherlock Holmes Moriarty Reichenbach Falls image is what I'm guessing that is. But I don't know if it can be, again, with Creative Commons, it probably can't exactly be that, but I'm pretty sure that's what that was supposed to be. All right. So Larry, I'll turn it over to you, sir. What's your first campaign this week?
Trekking Through History. It's on Kickstarter, and this is the first one I want to look at, and it's a board game. It reminds me of Trivial Pursuit, but this is their third board game that they've put out. The company itself has got a good history here. They've got strong releases. This one's up to just shy of $174,000 right now of a $20,000 goal. It's going to be running through February 28th, so you still have time to get in on this one. The catch phrase here is, what if you could go back in time and experience incredible moments in human history? And they've went back through, they give the criteria here if you want to see how things were decided, but they went and got 108 different generally pivotal moments through human history, if not pivotal, where things took a change, you know, as far as civilization goes, they were at least interesting to go back and look at. They cover from roughly 5,000 years ago up through the mid 20th century, because they specifically said they didn't want to get anything too close to now because it hasn't achieved the patina of history. But basically, it's a competitive game for 2 to 4 players, I believe it was. And you go through, you have an agenda board. There are different categories of events, sort of like where you would get your different pieces of pie on the old Trivial Pursuit game, you know, fill up. Mm-hmm. So you're looking to fulfill a categorical to get the score here. But it's broken up into 3 different days. So there are decks for each day that differ in point values, basically. But you've got timepieces that track the player's time, and you have a 12-hour day, and cards cost different amounts of time. They can also fill different point values on your agenda cards, which you're trying to complete as many of those in a 12-hour day as you can to earn the most points to, you know, emerge victorious. But each card goes through. It's got artwork on one side, and it's got a significant amount of information on the other side. And the idea is the artwork's really supposed to be very specific and evocative of that particular act or time period that you're looking at. The idea is you can play the game in about an hour. It's for kids, for people 10 and up. So it's kid friendly if you like. But the board game itself is just laid out where you're following a track. And again, you accumulate points for picking the cards that satisfy the requirements you're looking for. So they have the different point values and things. It's following what their first Kickstarter was called Trekking Through National Parks. And it's the same sort of build where you're going through and they give you different information about national parks. Well, that one raised $37,000 and it was an award winner from the Mensa Project, and another, like a homeschooler association, gave it a good award because the educational value of this is what they were shooting for. Their second one they did was called Trekking the World. This one was just a couple years ago in 2020, and it raised $250,000 of a $32,000 goal. So their first one sort of seemed like it laid the seed, and the second one really took off. Again, this one's up to $170,000 right now. The art on it is very cool. It's not, if you take a look at their Kickstarter page, you can see the art's very similar style-wise. It tends to go toward a particular color scheme to follow the category that the event falls under. So it's very colorful. Honestly, I really like, they have a couple examples of play here. You can wind up a game in under an hour. I like the idea of you've got the 3 different days and the points varying give you time to catch up. There's also the use of these things they call time crystals to give you more time. And if you play those right, you can give yourself extra basically extra time during a day to build up even more points. So the strategy of it is pretty neat. The idea of it, I think, of being able to show you these points in history, giving you the educational part of it, I thought was really, really nice. And they do go through, there's a lot of detail on how they picked everything. So if you're interested at all in history, this game seems like it would be a very educational and a fun way to do it. And there are, like I said, examples of play and things here, and you can download an instruction booklet. There's a good bit of stuff in the box. For $50, you get their the box set for this game, which is the base set, and a Kickstarter exclusive here is what they're calling the Time Warp expansion, and the solo mode. So you can play it by yourself if you want. And then the Time Warp expansion adds just a few more items to it. But those are only available through the Kickstarter. And you can also pledge and get their previous two games for an additional $50 for those each. So if you're interested in these looking through history type things, there's a lot you can garner from this Kickstarter, I think. They're well past funding. They're looking at fulfillment in October of 22, which, I mean, for doing a board game, it seems, you know, everything's done prototype-wise, but they're still going to have to print and ship. So, you know, that's a little bit eager in my point of view, but you can take a look around. There's only one tier to get in on. It's $50 for the game.
I really like Kickstarters that are clean like that. It literally's got one pledge level. That's all you need. I really like that. It also has free shipping in the U.S. and prepaid VAT if you're overseas. That's pretty awesome, I think.
Yeah, they said they were kicking in basically $8 towards everybody's shipping. So it's going to be free for the U.S., like you said, and then $8 less than you would normally pay overseas. So that was a good gesture on their part, I think.
Yeah, I think so as well. All right. And then, Brandon, if you don't mind, what's your first campaign this week?
My first campaign is called Wine Management. It is a print-and-play vineyard simulating roll and write. So what it is you roll 3d6, and the game itself, I noticed going through the Kickstarter that it doesn't explain how the game actually works. I'm guessing because it's just a print-and-play. So if they explain in the Kickstarter how the game works, why would you buy the game, you know?
Yep.
Outside of supporting the creator. So you have a piece of paper, and what you're doing is you're rolling dice and planting vines, harvesting vines to produce grapes, processing grapes to make wine, completing wine orders, hiring workers to unlock one-time bonuses, and delivering tours of your vineyard to gain popularity. So you're running your own vineyard, and it is a single-player game. It takes about 20 to 30 minutes to play. There's also optional rules in there if you want to play multiplayer, although it seems like that might be an afterthought. He added in just because people were wanting to play multiplayer with it. It's a $135 goal, which is ridiculously low, and it's sitting around $900 right now. It ends March 6th at 2:30 p.m. It was created by Matthew Parkinson of the UK. It's his second project. His first project was called Captain's Log, which was also funded. So he has two projects that he's done so far, and then he's backed 10. So pretty prolific on Kickstarter as far as it goes. And as far as risks and challenges go, there's really none that he lists. The game is done. It's being delivered in a digital format through itch.io. So the release date is March of 2022, so next month. And the pledge copies are £3 for a digital copy in PDF or £5 for a digital copy with your name listed in the PDF under the thank you section.
So this is where I will say I have never once played a roll and write game, but I've never played any of those types of games. So I have no idea what those are like. So I really don't have anything to say about this one. Larry, have you ever experienced with these types of games?
And unless you're talking about something like a one-page dungeon or, you know, Lasers and Feelings that you print it and then you're ready to play, because the only thing he really mentions is what you need here. And he does mention 3d6 dice. So I don't know if you're not a gamer familiar with this, if a d6 might confuse you a little bit if you're only thinking Monopoly or something, even though that's, you know, what it is. But right. It's a neat little project. And like Brandon said, it's basically once it's done, it's already funded. You know, you're going to get your code, you download it, and off you go.
Yeah, this seems like something worth it to me to jump into, especially at a price point of £3. I'm not sure what the translation is from £3 to US dollars, but I'm sure it's not that much.
Probably around $5, I guess.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's not bad at all. And if you're looking at the Kickstarter, you can see the character, not the character sheet, the character of the vineyards sheet. And it looks pretty in-depth. There's a lot of circles and check marks and X's, so it looks like it could be a pretty intense game.
Yeah, I think if that's an interest of yours, even just as a passing interest, it's a few bucks in, and it's sort of like a solo, maybe a journaling. I don't know about journaling, but it's sort of a solo game here where you get it to run your own vineyard. I mean, it's a neat idea, certainly.
Yeah, it is. It's right around $5 US, so
okay.
That's very, very reasonable for this type of game. All right, very cool. Thank you for sharing. So back to me, my second campaign this week is Elements of Inspiration. This was created by Nord Games, which does include a former co-host of this show, JVC. Originally, we did the show like about 2.5 years ago, right as the pandemic started, and I felt kind of weird about trying to tell people to spend money on Kickstarters when no one knew what was going to happen, so we kind of stopped for a while. And now we're still in the pandemic, but what the hell? I can't push it off forever, right?
Right.
But unfortunately, JVC is not able to do this at the time that we are doing it, so he's not able to participate anymore. But I just want to be upfront that this is a friend of the show, former co-host of the show's product or project. So Nord Games, of Wigan, which he is part of, has created 23 different campaigns. They have backed 175. Their last project was called the Oracle Story Generator and is promised in June of this year. Per comments and updates, it seems to be on track or very close. There were some stretch goals that were met that unlocked extra art, and that does seem to have put them in a little bit of a bind on that timing, but it doesn't seem like they're out of bounds completely. This thing is currently 735% funded, so it's doing very well. Probably doesn't need our help, but we wanted to give JVC a shout out. They have $147,000 currently on their initial goal of $20,000. It ends on March 10th, so still plenty of time to jump on board. And what Elements of Inspiration is a 420-card set of 9 different decks, each card deck for various location setting like urban, waterways, swamps, underground. Each card has a cue word and then an explanatory paragraph to kind of help you as the dungeon master or game master create an interesting and evocative encounter set based off of that card, no matter what role-playing game you're playing. For one of the example cards they have, the name of the card is Battlefield, and it has just like a short paragraph kind of giving you some, you know, some descriptions of what it looks like. And then you have categories such as haunted, so you have a short description of what this battlefield might look like if you want to play it as a haunted place and the characters are dealing with ghosts. Or if it's a recent battlefield and maybe there's still survivors or those wounded who are still there. Current, they're in the middle of a battle that's going on right now. Or hazardous, so there's something going on right now. There's like some sort of hazard, whether it could be the enemy forces or maybe it's like a volcano about to explode. I don't know. But there's some sort of treasure involved that might cause the characters to want to put themselves into danger to get to it. Additionally, each card has 3 symbols. One indicates the moon phase. One indicates a rune word, which I think kind of can mix with others' cards to help develop more of a story. And then a weather condition card. So basically, this is a random element generator for dungeon masters who are looking for either inspiration, like you can lay them out before the campaign starts or maybe before the session and kind of like outline this is what's going to happen. Or it could be even used real time where you just flip a card over and then that's kind of what you do. One of the reasons why I wanted to cover this specifically myself is this kind of feels a lot like what we do when we do synergy sessions. If anyone is familiar with that, it's a thing we do here at the show where we take a pack of Magic the Gathering cards and we open them and we go through them one at a time and we use the cards as inspiration to design a one-shot encounter, a campaign, an adventure type of a thing. So it's kind of similar to that. So it's very cool, evocative art. Prompts to kind of help you help guide you, gives you different options so you don't have to use it the same way multiple times, or you could use the same card multiple times and still get a different effect. And I think it's just really cool. The art looks great. The design looks great. The lowest pledge is $25 for a digital copy, $50 for printed, $60 for both. And then there are some higher pledges to include some of their various other projects. Now, there is some overlap kind of in what these do. So like the Oracle Story Generator kind of works similar. Like you have cards that you lay out that help you generate a story. This one sort of helps you generate like an encounter. So there is some bit of overlap, but they are still different products. And the estimated delivery date on this is February 2023, so basically a year away. Whew.
There's a lot on those cards. It's nice to see a little supplement like this that, like, you flip it over. Not only does it give you, here's a major point, but then it's got all the other attributes. If you are into, you know, like you said, the phases of the moon and weather conditions, that can, especially if you're just kind of doing some of that emergent gameplay where you don't have this maybe planned ahead and it's a random encounter, you know, that's a lot of nice little things there you can really play off of. I hadn't looked at this one since, you know, you were going to cover it, but yeah, this one's tugging at my heartstrings, man. This thing seems pretty sweet.
It does look very cool. And again, you know, JVC, friend of the show, I have confidence that they're going to deliver this, if not on time, close to it. And they also have a track record of so many successful Kickstarters at this point. I don't see any reason why to doubt that. It also kind of reminds me of back in the AD&D game years, I think second edition, there was this set of cards that you could get that were called like encounter cards. And it's kind of the same thing. The box looked like a treasure chest. You opened it up and you just drew a card and it had basically a random encounter on it. But that was very more focused on D&D. And it's also only one thing. Like, you're fighting two hill giants because they've lost their child and they want you to help find their hill giant baby. I remember that one specifically because I used it. But this, I like the fact that it gives you those options. Like, you have a haunted battlefield, or you can have a current battlefield or a recent battlefield. I think those are really cool prompts that could help, like, give you a germ of an idea. And then you can flesh it out to make it fit into your campaign world. So if you're someone who wants or maybe needs this type of inspiration, I think this is a very quality product. So I think it looks great. I hope they just keeps going. I hope they get to $1 million.
Yeah, valuable for whether you plan your things out or do it off the cusp. Great product.
All right, Larry, what is your number two product this week?
My second one that I wanted to bring is called Godsend Agenda. This one is also a Kickstarter. It's being run by Jerry Grayson. He's created 15 ones beforehand, backed 187 of them. This is the third edition of Godsend Agenda. He's also created Hellas, A World of Sun and Stone, and Atlantis, The Second Age, and has got, so according to his little blurb, over 20 years of experience running his own creations like this. So again, this is the third edition of it, and they've switched up a little bit of the systems in here, but the basics of this is in Godsend Agenda, it's a supers heroic role-playing game, and he's calling it of postmodern myth. And the gist of this one is that most people are just your average Joes, and to have powers like this is going to set you a step above people. The thing is to use that proactively for trying to better everything, better the environment, better civilization, better for everybody. And it's, you know, very specifically said that this game is not about stopping a bank robbery. This is using your powers and your team's agenda to go ahead and make changes that will benefit the most people. So it's you do have your powers, and you're going to have enemies that you're in contention with over, you know, world domination plans and things of that nature. But the whole kernel here is, and by his own words in the foreword of the book, you can look at a section of it, said this is a game pretty much for like a social justice warrior where you want things to improve for everybody. Because who's in their right mind is going to be really wanting things to get worse except for the bad guys? So the idea is that you're a good guy, and you're going to be involved in factions, and these factions have a history tied to them, whether you're an Atlantean or one of the alien races that has ended up on Earth. So during your character creation, you're going to go through and align yourself with an agenda, which is going to be your guiding principles. You're going to form a pantheon. So this doesn't lead itself really to a lot of, certainly not really solo gameplay unless you plan on running several characters yourself. So this is definitely would lean more towards a group gameplay. and the idea, like I said, to change the world for the better. There's examples. He's got interviews here where he talks about the game. He did an AMA, answered some other questions about the game and some other games he's done. I like the story behind this. He's funded. I'll give you the numbers here. He's up to over $16,000 on a $15,000 goal. 15 days to go on this, so it's running till March 1st. So there are no stretch goals here, but one of his updates is since they have surpassed the funding goal, he's going to go ahead and add some more another section to the book. So it's going from 250-page hardcover to a 320-page hardcover, roughly. So that money is going back into the project itself. This being the third edition, there's also a pledge level where you can get PDFs of the previous first and second edition items in a PDF form, along with this one in PDF if you just want that. So there's a lot of material here. If you're interested in it, you can get a lot. But there's if you're looking at the hardback book itself, $20 for a PDF, and the editing, it's been written up. He's talked about still having to finish up some art. So he's looking at an August fulfillment for just the digital version of the book itself. You can get additional, he's got two more books as add-ons, one called Pantheons, which is going to go into the character groups, like the factions known as Pantheons. There's going to go into a lot more detail on that, because out of the total book that started as a 250-pager, the Pantheon book itself is 125 pages, so there's a lot of information on those to build out. And they've also got the Agenda Apocrypha, which is another PDF you can get, which throws you all of the older stuff from the other games. Hardback starts at $65. That gets you the PDF and the hardback. And it's got the same estimated delivery date on that, but for, you know, the way printings are going, he does mention, you know, if there's anything coming up in art that's slowing down, then he has some fallback plans. He's got several artists, you know, in a queue that if they need to address that, he's got the ability to do that. And he does address that at the end in the risks and the challenges section. There's a lot of information there about how he's handled it in the past, how he'll handle it if anything does happen. So there's a lot of accountability that he's putting forth here.
Gotcha.
Think about the Eternals, really, is one of the really strong influences of this game. The idea that they're sort of the guardians of Earth, and they also took on the appearance of gods because of they just had powers, and how else would people back then react to them? Well, these are superior beings, right? So it's a matter of trying to use that for the betterment of all. So, I mean, you could, you know, if you want to twist and play dark, grim dark on this, you know, you're going to have to do a little work because it's not designed for that. But you're going to have enemies, you know, to deal with. It just really looked neat. The character creation, he's got a path system to go through there step by step, and you earn you can use a point buy system to get your powers and things. I like the system. It's a 2D10 system. It almost sounds like Powered by the Apocalypse, where you have ranges whenever you get your totals. You compare that to a chart on there, and it tells you if you failed, if you've succeeded greatly, if you've, you know, have a cost associated with it. But I thought this, for a Supers game, it put a new spin on it for me, and I really liked the presentation, and I liked the way he presented himself as a creator and all of the plans he's got to make sure that this game, you know, it's gotten funded, so it's going to come out. I feel very confident, you know, in that it is, you're going to get your stuff here.
Yeah. I would agree with the track record they have, that, you know, this isn't just somebody who's like, hey, I want to do the project. This is like, this is their company. This is what they do. So, and it's also the third edition of a book. So I probably already have a lot of the work done, I guess.
The one thing here that I did want to point out in the shipping and fulfillment section, you're going to have you pledge your support for your product. So you say, I want X amount. I want to spend $65 and get the hardback and stuff. Anything that has physical shipping, you'll get your PDFs, no issue there. But anything with physical shipping, he's very specific about this towards the end. The onus of shipping is going to be on the backer here. So you get your money taken out for your product. Then when it's time to ship physical stuff, then you're going to have to pay that separately.
Yeah, so. That's not that uncommon.
No.
I see quite a few people have done that just because shipping can change within the year of when you pledged it. So that
right.
makes sense.
He just has a little issue down here that when it comes out, that's when I'm going to figure up shipping. There is not an estimate at this point. But yeah. I'm kind of excited about this one. I think as long as I get to read it, it's going to help me as a GM, at least at different types of games. So I'm looking forward to this one.
I've said before, superheroes is my second favorite genre of role-playing games, so I'm always interested in trying to find new ones that do things differently, just if nothing else, is for inspiration. So definitely cool, and thank you for bringing it to the table. All right, Brandon, you're up. What's your second one, sir?
All right, so as a forever DM myself, I struggle with finding things for the players to do in between adventures, so the downtime. Which is why I picked this one. It's called Through Alton's Door Presents Downtime in Zyan, Activities Between Adventures. So besides the mouthful of a name, it looks really interesting. What it is rules for downtime for players. So it lists that it has rules such as building institutions, cultivating relationships, crafting splendid items, etc., etc. It was originally posted on a blog called Mazirian's Garden, where they took... On the blog, they listed each individual thing as its own blog post. So one blog post about gathering materials, one blog post about building institutions, and the creator, whose name is Ben Lawrence of Chicago, who runs this blog, took them and then put them all into one zine. So he has created two. His first one was called Through Alton's Door, which was also backed, and... He has backed 147 Kickstarters, so he's pretty prolific on the site as well. And what this is it's sit through the eyes of a set of humanoid mole rats who walk you through the world of Alton's Door. However, the system itself is system agnostic, so you can play it, although they said that they have the idea of old school role-playing games like AD&D and OSR games in mind.
I like the art to it, too. I do.
Yeah, the art's great. And there's a part of it that I think you'll enjoy, Larry. I'm coming up on here in a second. It's $11,000. It's hit $11,000 of a $2,000 stretch goal. It's $7 to unlock the PDF or $15 to get the printed zine and the PDF. The highest is $50, which includes 5 print copies of the zine plus a digital PDF. There's 2 editions, and this is a part I think you'll appreciate, Larry. There's the Modest Edition and the Revealed Edition. So the Modest Edition the Modest Edition shows them as little nicely dressed mole rats. The Revealed Edition shows them, as the Kickstarter says, in their true form, which is without pants.
Right.
So you can buy the Revealed Edition and get the mole rats the way they're supposed to live, which is without pants.
As God intended.
Exactly. The risks and challenges basically come down to shipping time. The zine is written, the art is done, and the layout is nearing completion. Estimated delivery of September 2022. The stretch goals I thought were also interesting because half of the stretch goals just involve him laying out how he's going to pay his artists more as he makes more money, which I think is a really admirable thing. And I don't know how often you see that in Kickstarters because I'm kind of new to the world of Kickstarters. Is that a pretty common thing?
I don't know that it's common, but it's not completely unheard of either. I've seen several of those before where it's just, you know, at a certain level, you're just like, everybody just gets paid more.
Right.
So I hope it becomes more common because it should be. Because don't keep adding stretch goals to your stuff. You're just going to make it worse on yourself. Like once you got your product done, just pay people more. It's fine.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the difference between the two is just the artwork with the moles. Was that what it boils down to?
Yeah, the difference between the two is just the artwork with the moles not wearing pants.
That's going to be a tough choice, but that's nice that you have the option.
Yeah, it's nice to have an option. All right. So for me, my third one here today is called After the Rain, the RPG. This was created by Desks and Dorks, which is a podcast that I had never heard of before, but it does exist. I checked it out. This is their first created Kickstarter, but they've backed 18. It is currently already 254% funded, so they've got close to $4,000 on a goal of $1,500. It ends on March 1st. And After the Rain is a one-shot RPG system where 3 to 6 players play in a world where exposure to the rain will cause your characters to lose their memories and experiences and the things that make you who you are. This one caught my eye because this is actually an idea that I had years ago that, of course, I never did anything with, but essentially where your memories are kind of like the currency of the game. And as you play the game, you're going to lose more and more of who you are. The Kickstarter, you know, kind of explains how this works and how you can lose those parts of yourself. It just seems like a fun, interesting sort of examination. I like that it's a one-shot RPG. It's not designed for campaign play. The lowest pledge is $8 for a digital copy and $18 for a printed copy, $22 for both. And estimated delivery date is July 2022, so not that far away. I also appreciate this was designed by people who started with a podcast. Near and dear to my heart, someone who has a game may be coming to Kickstarter later this year. So just see them do well. Hope it comes out well. I don't know much more beyond that, but I think it's interesting. I think it's worth taking a look at.
A one shot with character growth. That's an ambitious goal right there. So that's something neat to look into.
Unfortunately, it only uses D6s though. So I instantly would change that to
D12s.
Right. Of course.
The best die
ever. Why would you use best die ever? Of course. But beyond that, seems pretty cool. All right, Larry, take us home, buddy. What's your third one?
The third one I would like to cover is this one's on Indiegogo. It is called A Fistful of Carbon. This is a LARP. So this is the first time I've ever really looked into one of these other than, I think Vampire the Masquerade was a huge LARP in the 90s, and they still do those, of course. That's the only other one I was really familiar with. So looking at this one, think of a Western frontier town in space. The idea behind this is it's going to be a LARP theater game. So you're going to have role playing as your characters. You're going to have guidelines to dress the part. They've got different factions you can get involved with. Now, the creator for this is listed as Maya B. Carlson, and this is ported over from Indiegogo. This is the first creation here for her, but there's quite a group that are working. They have costume designers. They've got several writers, artists all working on this together. So there's really not much of a background to go on for me other than what they tell you about the game here. So they've got a player's book if you're just going to play in this as a PDF that's already ready to go. But part of the money that was going towards the goal here of $6,000, which they have surpassed, they've made a $7,500 goal at this point. So the PDF is going to be ready to go to anybody who wants to play in the game. The money is going towards funding the artwork and some final editing on the actual hardcover book that's going to be used by the runners, you know, whoever's going to be facilitating this overall. So they also, with the meeting their goal and the little money over the goal here, they're going to include an art book with everybody's PDF. The Fistful of Carbon, again, it goes back to a Western theme where you're out on a fringe world. And so you're going to need people, enough people, so you don't just normally have like a couple people, you know, and for a LARP. So you're going to have a group of people that are going to be willing to do this. But the idea is it's a campaign LARP space Western that's going to have scheduled events, and it's a pulpy space Western, focuses on inter-character drama and classic Western frontier pastiche. And they're going to use tactical foam weapons and dart blasters for any time somebody gets into a combat type of thing. It's supposed to be fun and over the top and kind of ridiculous. It's the idea here is when they're going to be finished with the book, that they're going to license it out so that you can run your own LARP of it if you wish. And it's going to include 15 different events for part of the campaign. The publication is going to have player materials separate for someone running the game, and world information. So you're going to have the plot line that's spaced out over these 15 events, threat information for creating encounters, set dressing ideas, costuming guidelines to help it be more of an immersive experience. They're going to have document handouts for players, not only character sheets, but also signage for in-game things, and some kits that will also be available for the runners to market the idea. like I said, it's met its goal. The entry pledge is $1 for the player's PDF. And if you want the limited hardcover to actually run the game, then it's going to be $75 to back it. They have different pledge levels in there if you're just interested in supporting them and getting stickers or some in-game events that could be used in the LARP. They have a scheduled playtest coming up that you can participate in as long as you've, you know, fill out information and you're willing to give them all the information they're asking for, because they're looking at making sure they don't have any COVID exposure. And also they want to basically make sure the individuals that they're going to have invited to this full-scale playtest are not – would just fit in with the group. You know, they're looking to get a certain fun, active type of people to get together to run some playtests, you know, physically. So, and that's up in Maryland. So if that's something that you would be interested in traveling to try out, that's available. But again, this one's on Indiegogo. They break down their funding, what it's going to. I thought that was nice that they're telling you allocation wise what it's going to. They're talking about the game itself. There are several interviews here with the creators. Everybody is looks like they had a good time putting this together. They mention about having a low budget. They've met that budget and a little bit more. So that's going to help make the game a little bit better. And hopefully they, you know, this thing's funded and they can get through, get it licensed, and it takes off. And that's really the thing that brought me in the interest was, man, you could kind of play, you know, some of your spacey Wild West stuff here. This is already set up for that. So as a LARP, it seems like a neat experience that I would be willing to go all in on and try it out. And I thought I'd like to just spread that around. It's on Indiegogo, so, you know, your Kickstarter people aren't going to see it. So that's the spiel on that one.
So do either of you listen to the podcast Thrilling Adventure Hour?
I have not.
No.
It's an amazing podcast. It's weird now. It's kind of like behind a paywall on Patreon, but it's amazing. But there's a segment they do called Sparks Nevada, Marshall on Mars. And that's the first thing I thought of here. Basically, it's a Western, but you're on Mars instead of Earth. And you got your, you know, Marshall there with his sidekick, who in this case is a Martian. And then there's like the High Plains Rider. I'm going completely off. It's a really fun podcast you should listen to. But that's the first thing I thought of is that I have never backed an Indiegogo, so I don't understand how it works. But I'm looking at – so they've hit $7,500, but I'm looking at all the things that you can pledge for, and it doesn't add up to $7,500. So I don't know where some of the money came from. I don't – maybe that's just something because I don't understand. But, like, it has all these perks you can pledge at, and I just – like, I did the math, and it only equals $4,200. So I don't know where the other $3,000 came from. It's weird. Huh. I don't understand Indiegogo.
That part, yeah, I'm not, I don't know if the money doesn't add up, although I noticed once they hit 7,500, it never moved since then. And so I don't know if the additional money's not accounted for or, you know,
I have no idea. I mean, again, I'm not like saying they're doing anything wrong. I just don't understand how Indiegogo works. There might be ways to pledge without taking a perk. So maybe it's like a donation, like in Kickstarter, they have the donation only, but you can see that. So maybe that's not. Maybe there's a way to do that. Or maybe people can overpledge. That's probably it. Someone probably got a lower tier thing but gave them some extra money and it's not showing that. That might be where it's coming from. So, but yeah, LARPs are cool. I run a LARP at Catacon every year. Ours is a D&D-themed murder mystery one. But I think their one-shot LARPs are cool. So yeah, absolutely. Good on them. All right. That leaves you, Brandon, to bring us home, buddy.
So everybody loves ninjas. That's just a fact. This one is called Floating Floors, which is a tactical game of balance and cunning for 2 to 4 players with physics and strategy. And that's directly off of the Kickstarter I'm reading there. So what it is, it's a board game with little square cards that have terrain drawn on them. You take these and you balance them on something on these little blocks called jutsu. And then you have a figure that you move along the balanced cards to get from one end of the board game to the other. And the goal is to stay on the colored terrain blocks of your color without tipping over the terrain itself, which sets you back a turn. So the entire point of the game is to collect your Bansen seals, is what they're called, which contains your Bansen Shukai. You create walkways using blocks of jutsu to balance floor cards, which you then place your piece on. There are colored markings on the floor that correspond to the color of your ninja. The risks and challenges, which I'll get into first, are all shipping-related risks and challenges, which I think you guys, having done this show for a while, are probably very familiar with now, where the risks and challenges are then basically saying, well, we don't know how shipping's going to work. Shipping's crazy, so we'll get it out at some point. But the delivery date is April of 2023. Now, to get into it, if you want to pledge for it, it's $25 US or 35 Australian for the physical game board. There's a stretch goal of $25,000, which means that the ninja meeples, which is what the little ninja figures are called as meeples, will be screen printed. And the shipping is about $10. It's at $13,000 of a $10,704 goal. It ends February 22nd, and it is created by a company called Guff Studios, which, looking into them a little bit, they run a chain of comic book shops in Australia.
Hmm.
So this looks like a game of balance and skill, which I appreciate. And I think that it translates the idea of being a ninja and sneaking around very well, because you have to move yourself. And then when you're playing with other players as well, they can rotate the cards as you're traveling. They can also put more pieces onto the board or try to unbalance you or take the pieces that are underneath the terrain out to try to make you tip over, which sets you back a turn from where you were before. As far as stretch goals, though, go, it looks like the only stretch goal really is the screen-printed figurines themselves.
Oh, okay. So I'm watching down there part number two of their video instruction, how they're building the platform. Now it makes a lot more sense seeing how you've got your four pillars to support them. At first I thought you just like had a central one and were trying to balance everything on that.
Yeah, I didn't explain it super well because it's kind of a hard...
It's kind of a visual thing. I think you got to see it.
Definitely.
Exactly. I was the same way. I'm like, I do not understand. And I started looking at the videos like, okay, I get it now.
So this is like advanced or like reverse Jenga almost, or I like you said, everybody loves ninjas. If only they had pirates too.
Yeah. Versus each other.
Oh my God, with pizza, right?
With pizza, yes. And hookers and blackjack.
Oh, hey now.
So how do you guys feel about these kind of games of balance and skill?
Well, I'm a huge fan of Jenga. I love Jenga and I love Dread. I would not say that's what this is, though. The very first thought, and I don't mean this in a negative way, but my very first thought is my kids would drop these pieces and they would go everywhere.
Yeah.
We would definitely fall and then pieces would go everywhere. And I'm a little bit concerned that all these little pieces might get lost pretty easy. But I do like games that are... It's not luck. It's not just roll and move. You know, there's actual skill involved. So that could be fun. This is something I could see playing with my kids.
Well, it's got a tabletop simulator version down here too.
Oh man.
So okay. All right. Yeah. All right. Interesting. All right. Anything else from you, Larry?
What? No. I was here getting involved into the ninja action.
Yeah, I'm looking at the video still. So, well, there you go, folks. We have brought you 9 different campaigns on various platforms. I think most of them this time were Kickstarter, as I continue to think that's going to be for a while, but not all of them. Please also check out zinemonth.com if you have not yet, to look at all the various zines that you can back and support this month. But before we go, we have to take a moment, as always, to do the Going Last Memorial Pickstarter. And this is where we are going to take a moment and pick one of these 9 and pretend that we have all the imaginary money in the world. But we can only back one of these. And whichever one we back, we are unable to ever even play the others, even if someone else backs it. So it's basically an exclusive-only sort of situation. So Larry, I'm going to start with you this time. You have all the imaginary money in the world, but you can only back one of these. What you backing?
Well, what I'm going to do with my imaginary pile of cash is I'm going to shove it all towards the Trekking Through History, and I'm going to get all 3 of their box sets, their board games, and then I'm going to use the imaginary money to invite people, fly people in that actually enjoy board games, because nobody around here does. That's what I'm going to do, because I want to learn about history and national parks and the other one that they had.
Very, very cool. All right. Brandon, same thing to you. All the imaginary money in the world, but you can only back one of them.
All the imaginary money in the world, I am spending $300 on Elements of Inspiration and getting every box set that they produce. I love the idea of these cards. I love whenever you're trying to come up with a game for D&D or any other tabletop RPG you're playing, using stuff like, Michael, you mentioned using magic cards at some point to come up with ideas. And I love that. And I think there's a lot that can be done with that that hasn't been done yet. And these cards look like it's right up my alley.
So interestingly enough, those are the two that I'm torn between. Like, if I like, you both have picked the ones that I'm like, well, it could be that one, it could be that one, it could be that one, or it could be that one. But I think I'm gonna have to go with you, Brandon. If I have all the imaginary money in the world, I'm gonna shove it at the ultimate level on that Elements of Inspiration and get all of those, because that would just be an amazing resource for me as a dungeon master, someone who does like to kind of do improv things on the fly. And as much as I do like the idea of playing a board game that actually teaches me stuff, I don't know that I would ever get that at the table necessarily, but I definitely would be able to use these cards. So I'm going to go with that one as well, but it's a close. It's like a 51-49 situation in favor of Elements of Inspiration. All right, gentlemen. Well, thank you both for joining me. As always, I appreciate it. One more time, Larry, where can people find you on the internet if they want to chat with you, or if they have a project they want you to cover and they want to send you links to it to kind of get you to do something? Where can they go and what can they do?
Well, we're always willing to look at crowdfunding and give it a voice if we find it has merit and we want to give it a push there. Mumfrey999 on Twitter would be the place to go.
Fantastic. And then Brandon, yourself, sir.
You can find me on Twitter at Dueling Ogres or the Dueling Ogres podcast. You can just search Dueling Ogres on any of your podcatcher apps and you will find me there.
Fantastic. As for myself, again, Michael at the RPG Academy on Twitter. That's where I'm most active, though we do have a Facebook page as well. You can email the show, the RPG Academy at Gmail. So yes, if you have a campaign that either you are running or you just think it's cool and want more people to know about it, you can send an email to us. No guarantees or promises that we will cover anything, but we will at least look at it, put it in the queue, and then it might get a shout out on the show. And then also, as mentioned, we have a show and tell series where we do one-on-one interviews with content creators and podcasters and game designers to highlight specific Kickstarters. If that's something you would like to have us consider, please email me for that as well. So with that, we're going to say goodbye. And remember, if you're having fun,
you're doing it right.
That is correct, sir. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the RPG Academy podcast. We do this show out of love for the hobby and the desire to be ambassadors, welcoming more people into this community. All of our website content will always be free to use and utilize, but there are expenses related to the show. And if you enjoy what we do here, then please consider supporting us in some way. You can do so as simply as rating or reviewing us on iTunes or your podcatcher of choice. If you're going to purchase anything through Amazon or DriveThruRPG, consider using our affiliate links first, and then we'll get a small percentage sent back to us. You can do a single direct donation through PayPal using the paypal.me/theRPGAcademy, or consider joining our Patreon campaign at patreon.com/theRPGAcademy. And for a donation as low as $1 a month, you'll get access to lots of extra goodies, including bonus minisodes, invites to monthly one-shot games, one-sheet adventures, and more. Please consider following us on Twitter and Facebook, or join our Discord, where we like to try to keep the conversation going with our fans as best we can, and are always looking to talk and chat more. Or do none of that. Just continue to listen and enjoy our show, because honestly, that's enough. Thanks. And remember, if you're having fun, you're doing it right. We'll see you next time. The music used for our intro and outro is Fly a Kite by Spectacular Sound Productions, used under the Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike license.